For some of us, that youth was a long time ago. Do you remember those days? Youth is a time when we dream of a future of independence and joy. Once we graduate from high school, we feel the beginning of some freedom. We can finally gain some control over our own destiny. Whether that be getting a job or going for further education in a field of our own choice, it is a time when we finally start becoming that person that we envision we will be. We can begin to make some of our own decisions. We'll have a lot of friends. Perhaps we'll even find the perfect partner and get married and have the perfect family. Young adulthood is exciting. It's a freeing time of life. What about the faith that we are raised in? Will youth continue to nurture and grow in the faith? Will they continue the lifelong task of developing Christ-like minds and character? Will the faith be passed on to our children? Or will we become one of the growing number who reject the faith in which they were raised, those who choose to go it alone? For many of those days of youth are past, but we've all been there. And even those of us with gray hair, or if you have very little hair at all, we remember those days. And we have many fond memories of those free and easy days. It didn't take long for us to realize that our longed-for freedom came with a lot of restraints and some heavy responsibilities. Along with some of us finding the perfect partner for life came a loss of total freedom. We stood before God and family and friends and committed our life to that perfect person for life. Along with that commitment to love, to the love of our life, some of our freedom flew out the window. We were done thinking just of our own desires. And we found that two people do not always agree. What happened to all that freedom? When that first baby is born, we lose the freedom of uninterrupted sleep. That little blessing wakes up in the middle of the night and is hungry and in need of a diaper change. That little one does not think, well, I know mom and dad are tired, so I'll just wait until a more convenient time and let them know that I need some help here. And I guess I can tolerate that diaper a bit longer. But you hear the cry, and you just hope this baby will go back to sleep. But that cry becomes louder and louder and louder. And finally, at this incessant screaming, you drag your weary bones out of bed to tend to this precious baby's needs. Even serious friendship imposes a lasting hold on us. To be someone's friend is to undertake weighty responsibilities and obligations that at times may limit our freedom. We want to be a friend who's there in times of joy as well as times of sorrow. But those times are usually not planned, and often it is not convenient. But we're needed now, so we drop everything and we go to be with that friend. In order to be a responsible employee, we have to put a priority on being reliable and doing the best job that we can. Sometimes we have to alter our personal time and our plans, maybe even our family time, to accommodate to the needs of the job. We may have found that perfect job, but with it comes some loss of freedom. We live in a society that is socially connected at all times. But that perceived need to be in constant contact with family and friends comes with a downside. It does become addictive, and it's ever present. Where did that uninterrupted time alone go? What about our rest and reflection? Maybe time for meditation. What happened to our freedom? Our text today calls for us to be free. At times, even the living of our faith seems to bind us rather than providing freedom. Jesus gave us specific ways of living out our lives. Love your neighbor as yourself. That sounds pretty clear, but it doesn't really sound like a lot of freedom. Some of you might be thinking, love my neighbor, you really haven't met my neighbor. Christian freedom is not separation from relationships. It does not appear to be an unencumbered life with unrestrained permission to do what we please. Paul does not use the term flesh as though human bodies are inherently evil. Rather, flesh is often Paul's shorthand for self-centered living as opposed to God-centered living. Self-centered versus God-centered living. As we age and become senior citizens, what freedoms do we enjoy? We certainly have some, the freedom from the pressures of the workforce, perhaps assurance of comfort of a long, faith-filled life that we have lived. We can enjoy the little ones, the grandkids, the great-grandkids, and then we do enjoy when they go home to their parents. Of course, along with aging comes many losses. Perhaps the loss of a pain-free body. Certainly loss of agility that we once had. And our worries take on a different nature. In our text today, Paul is issuing imperatives and suggesting that those who are free should make themselves slaves to one another. Now, to our way of thinking, freedom and slave just don't seem to go together. How many of you read the column in the Pittsburgh Press on Thursdays called Random Acts of Kindness? Have you all seen that? Anybody else seen it? A couple of you. Well, I think it's worth the cost of a Thursday paper. People write in short letters of kindnesses that they have experienced from total strangers. The Pittsburgh area really is a friendly and a caring place, and we hear that from newcomers all the time. We hear it from visitors, how people will help you in Pittsburgh. The recent May 29th issue had a touching contribution that I'd like to share with you. If you're one who has read it, I think it's worth hearing again. It's titled, Baseball Game Doubly Sweet for a Brother Who Has Autism, and I quote, "My family benefited from two random acts of kindness on May 6th. I am a child care provider at a center in Franklin Park, and a set of parents offered me their tickets to that evening's Pirates game. I was very surprised by their nice gesture. My older brother is autistic and had never been to a baseball game. But with the generous gift of tickets I received, he was going. It marked the first time that my family of four was ever able to make the trip to a Pirates game. We were hoping for the best and that he'd enjoy it, and his smiles proved that he did. We were sitting down the right field line when a player for the other team hit the ball to Josh Harrison in right field for the last out of the inning. A group of four younger adults was behind us, and you couldn't ask for a nicer group of people. One of the guys in that group yelled for the ball, and Harrison threw it in our direction. A guy in that group behind us got it, and after a few minutes passed, that group ended up giving my brother the ball. We asked if they were sure they wanted to do that, and they all said, yes, it's his. In one amazing day, my family all got to go to a Pirates game, which never happens, and my brother ended up with a ball that will be in his room forever. To everyone involved, my family says thank you. The smiles on my brother's face and the memories of his first Pirates game will last a lifetime, and it's signed Bob Fisher Keller from Shaler. I found that letter really touching and read it over numerous times. I think it is an example of what Paul is speaking of when he suggests that Christian freedom means making ourselves slaves to one another, to serve one another humbly and with love. The counterpoint to self-serving, obsession with self, is a life of loving sacrifice for benefit of others. Love is the way that freedom in Christ grows and expresses itself. Freedom to love and serve in the manner of Jesus is God's intention for humankind. Freedom is a gift from God given through faith. With the love of God in our heart, by living in step with the Holy Spirit, we can reach out to our neighbor, even those unpleasant ones. Those random acts of kindness that we read about in the paper every Thursday are one way that love and kindness grows. I wonder how many people were touched by that story of the Pirates game, and how many people, as a result of reading it, were inspired to reach out in love to someone they come in contact with. Like all good gifts, freedom can be misused and even cause harm. Unless our freedom is expressed with God's spirit of love and kindness, we can misuse it to dominate others. Followers of Jesus live under the rule of the Spirit. They exercise self-control and put the needs of others ahead of their own needs. Either one is governed by the power of the flesh and will exhibit self-centered living, or one is under the controlling power of the Spirit and will display God's love and righteousness in the world. The faithful Christian life is a matter of active participation. Freedom to love and serve in the manner of Jesus is God's intention for all of us. We live in a material world. That is a part of who we are. And Paul's problem with the flesh was not that we desire and want things, but that our desires are often disordered. Sometimes we want the wrong things, or we want good things in the wrong way. Usually we want too much or too little. We live in a frightening world at times, and violence is all too common. We pray and ask God, "What can I do?" I believe that often if we listen, the answer from God is, "You can love. You can love." It seems like a simple answer, but it is profound. Think for a moment about the people who have had the most positive influence in your life. In my life, they are folks who put a lot of love into what they do, whether they be parents or teachers, friends, or even total strangers. Each loving thought or action is like a stone dropped into a lake. It ripples out in concentric circles that reach far beyond the starting point. Each time our loving attitude touches another, that love is felt and is carried forth to touch every individual in that person's circle, creating many concentric circles. Love is power. It comforts, encourages, uplifts, inspires, and heals. Love dissolves hatred, fear, and ignorance. Love is the most powerful force in the world. because it aligns us with a higher spiritual sense of things. Love illuminates each individual's true identity as a spiritual reflection of God, God's divine love. We can all keep dropping those pebbles of love into the pond of our daily experience. They will continually ripple outward in increasing larger circles until they touch countless numbers of people. People experiencing pain and loss and mental illness, even violent thoughts. That is divine love in action. Let us pray. Our God, you have given us the gift of freedom, the freedom to love. Freedom to love those closest to us, and the responsibility to also love those whom we find difficult to love. As we go about our daily lives, be with us and help us to drop those pebbles of love onto people you put into our paths on a daily basis. Help us to follow the example of Jesus as he reached out to all people, even to those rejected by society. Use us to offer the gift of love to make this world a kinder, safer, and more loving place. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen.